In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us.
He is and always shall be.
Let the children come to me. Natalia and Gabriel, how is that? A boy and a girl.
Okay.
So, in today's Gospel, our Lord Jesus Christ healed two men. Do you remember what their suffering was?
Blind.
They were blind. Two men who couldn't see. And what did they do when they saw Jesus? What did they do? They just stood nice and quiet. And Jesus went by. What did they do?
They followed him and they said, "Oh, Son of David, heal us.
Son of David, have mercy on us." Very good. And what did Jesus do? He asked them something. What did he ask them? Did he heal them right away?
No.
He asked them something. Something. What did they? What did he ask them? Do you believe? Do you think? Do you believe that I could do this for you? That I'm able to do this for you? And what did they? What did they say?
Yes.
And then Jesus. How?
He touched
their eyes and he gave them sight. Now, do you think this was a failure or a success?
Success.
It was a success. In a few days, more specifically, most of you on Wednesday will go back to school. Is that right? Is that right? Most of you, yes. When do you start school?
August
17th, so you have one more week of vacation. But, so some of you on August 10th, some of you on August 17th will start school. Do you want to be successful in school? Do you want to do well in school?
Yes.
Do you want to do well in life?
Yes.
Did you watch the Olympics?
Yes.
Very good. Did you see anybody winning in the Olympics? What does it take to be successful in school? What does it take to be a good Olympic athlete? First of all, you know, to make it to the Olympics, because that's already a huge success. What does it take to make it to the Olympics? What does it take to be successful in school, in life, wherever you are? What do you think? What does it take? In today's gospel, what happened in today's gospel? What do you think that happened? First of all, we saw how many men coming to Jesus?
Two.
Two. Not only one, but two. Do you think they were supporting each other? Do you think they were supporting each other and working together?
Yes.
Of course they were. Two blind men struggling, you know, with the same issue somehow. Can you imagine in this situation, you know, a blind man leading another blind man. Out of love, they were supporting each other and following somehow, most likely following the voice of the Lord and the noise of the people. They were just following the Lord and supporting each other. And then, when they went to Jesus, they asked him to help them. And Jesus asked them, do you believe that I could do this? And they said, yes. What was this between the two men? What was it? How do we call it? How do we call it? What do you think that existed between these two blind men? Come on, name it. Friendship. What does it take to have a good friendship? Love. And love when people love each other, what do? They support each other, they work together. The two blind men knew to work together. And together they went to Jesus. And Jesus said, I need your faith. I need you to believe that I could do this for you. It was again a cooperation. Working together, Jesus with the two blind men. And in the end, because of all of this cooperation, do you know that word, cooperation? Cooperate. What does it mean to operate? To operate. To work. To do something. To operate. Yeah? To operate a piece of machinery, they say. Yeah? To operate. To work together. Cooperate. It means, you know, to work together. So because of these cooperations between the two blind men, and then between Jesus and the two blind men, they became successful. What does it take for us to be successful? Is cooperation important? What do you think?
Yes.
Going back to the Olympics, do you think that the athletes who made it to the Olympics this year, do you think that they made it on their own? Who do they have to work together with?
The coaches.
The coaches.
The team.
Who else? Try to think. Who did they have to work together with to make it to the Olympics? So you said coaches, team. Who else? With God. I'm sure that many of them prayed, because do you think that it is easy to feel that you are in so much pain that you can't go even one more step and you have 100 more steps to go and you have to go? Don't you think that they pray when they are in those situations, when they feel that they are dying because of so much exhaustion and pain? But they want to give glory to God and to give thanks to all the people to help them to get there, so they don't give up. And I'm sure that in those moments many of them pray and ask God to give them strength at least to finish the race. So, you said coach, or coaches, and team, and God. Who else? Who else did they have to work together with?
Family.
Family. Many of them had to be supported by their family, because do you think that they started doing this when they started training for the Olympics last month? They started training as young children, and they needed the support of their family, of their friends. What about money? Who do you think that supported them, you know, to travel all the way to Rio from all over the world? Who do you think that supported them? They? I don't know. Maybe some of them want the money, but I'm sure that most of them are supported by the government, maybe, of their country.
Or probably their family.
And that means, you know, by the government, that means, you know, all the people of that country pay taxes, and from the taxes, you know, they pay some money for these athletes to represent the country at the Olympics. Could you see how a whole country is involved? Millions of people are working together for the success of a team. It is a team, even if they are competing alone, it is still a lot of teamwork. Millions of people are supporting them, are working together for their success. Because what happens if somebody trains really, really well, but then the government of the country doesn't want to pay for that athlete to go to the Olympics? He or she stays home and nothing happens. It takes a lot of cooperation. The same in school. Who do you have to work together with to be successful in school? With the teachers? With?
Classmates.
With classmates, very good.
With friends.
With friends. And who else? Who's supporting you at home?
Your family and God.
Your family and God. If mommy and daddy don't look after you, could you go to school?
No.
If mommy and daddy don't give you clothes and food and don't give you rides and no, could you go to school and be successful in school? Can you see how by working together with each other, we become successful? It's not only about me. It is always about working together. So try to work together with everybody around you, wherever you are in life, whenever you are in life, if you want to be successful. Because the Holy Trinity, do you think that the Holy Trinity is a team? Or an individual unit? It is a team. The Holy Trinity is a team of the Father, made up of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who always work together. If we want to be like God, if we want to be like the Holy Trinity, we have to work together. Together, together. Thank you very much. Christ is among us. Because everything was created by the Holy Trinity, who is a team of three persons who are one and who always work together, they imprinted their image in all of creation. And we could see this synergy, this working together between different energies all over the universe. From subatomic level to family level, to institutional level, you name it, all over the universe, you know, to microsystems and macrosystems, to biological ecosystems, everything works together. Because everything was created by the Holy Trinity, and it was created in the image of the Holy Trinity, and it was created for union and communion, for this synergy. We are called, beloved faithful, to work in this synergy also among us. This is a very important concept in the teaching of the Orthodox Church. You know, some Christians believe that they could become one with God, or they could attain salvation. Many Christians don't have this idea of becoming one with God. They just have the idea of salvation. They think they could be saved on their own. Sometimes Christians say, I don't need the church to be saved. It is about my relationship with God. That's not according to the Bible. We could see in today's epistle reading that it took a cooperation between two human beings and then between God and man for a miracle, for salvation to happen. From the beginning to the end, the Bible speaks about these cooperations between God and humanity and between humans themselves. God asked Adam and Eve to work together with Him for the sanctification of the world. And when Adam and Eve refused to work together with God, when Adam and Eve wanted to do their own thing, I know what I have to do, I'm self-sufficient, they broke the relationship with God and they lost paradise. St. John the Evangelist says that we could not love. He says, how could you say that you could love God whom you don't see if you don't love the image of God next to you? We can't have a vertical relationship with God if we don't have a horizontal loving relationship with the church of God, with the images of God next to us. We need to be in communion. We need to be in synergy, in cooperation with the people of God, with the creation of God, and with God, in order to become one with Him. We welcome Leslie among us today. We welcome her in the Orthodox Church. And this is essential for her salvation. And she knew that. She knew that. And she, as I said, you know, she did it because she wanted to become one. She wanted to become more one with her family and with our church family. We are called to work together. And so many times, you know, when we refuse to do this, we experience what Adam and Eve experienced. We experience brokenness. Because basically, when we think that we know better than anybody else, when we want to act independently, we break the connections around us and we go against the energy of God that penetrates everything and against the energies that come from the people around us and from the creation of God around us. If you want to know, the whole universe is like a huge network of energies working together. And it is amazing, you know, how modern physics came to prove this, that there is an energy at any level of creation. In fact, now discovered about 15 years ago, they discovered that only about 5% of the universe is matter. The rest is energy. And even the matter is penetrated by energy. And interestingly enough, about 30% of this energy tries to break everything apart. And the rest, about 70%, tries to bring everything together. When I read that, I thought, no wonder. Because we believe that God is the one who tries to bring everything together, and the devil is the one, the diabolos, two sides, the one who tries to pull apart and to destroy. And the book of Revelation says that when Lucifer fell, he took with him about a third of the angels. The energy that tries, you know, to break everything apart and to destroy. Anyway, it is very important to know that we are part of this huge network of energy of relationships. And we are called to connect ourselves with the energy that brings everything together. With the grace of God that brings everything together and to work together among us. That's why, by the way, even in the Holy Liturgy, the entire Holy Liturgy is at first person plural. When the priest starts the liturgy, he doesn't say, "In peace, let me pray to the Lord." He says, "In peace, let us pray to the Lord." And the entire Holy Liturgy is a first person plural because we are called to become one. We have two exceptions. Can you tell me the prayers in first person singular in the liturgy? The Creed and the Communion prayers. Because the Creed, we have to make it personal because we have to bring ourselves, our own personality, willingly and knowingly, we have to bring our own person and to make the connection with the network of love. But we are called to work together in this fellowship of love in everything that we do, in the church, at home, at work, wherever we are, if we want to experience the harmony that St. Paul was speaking about today in the epistle reading, and when he was saying, "Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification, for even Christ did not please himself." Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, "The reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me." And again, St. Paul says in the letter to Philippians, chapter 2, that we are called of being of one accord, of one mind. He says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Therefore, Again, St. Paul says in the letter to Ephesians chapter 4, we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. We should not be involved in any kind of plotting in this world. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.